found to be incredibly entertaining.
I want to ask you a question that comes with controversy.
Oh, now you're really tapping into it, Byron. See, now you get a chance to ask all the questions that you always wanted to know.
Even better, this is going to be podcast, so we can listen and laugh later.
This is one of your favorite things. Keep it simple, stupid. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger.
Yeah, no question. I think it was Tiger, 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 Tiger. He is the name. I mean, he is what golf is resting on right now.
I think he's a great team player. He did buy his wife a new yacht.
Yeah, well, for that team, he's doing well.
You know.
Get to know Melanie Nayer on Life Tips. Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Open your windows for a breath of fresh air. Webmasterradio.fm.
And hey, Mac, we're here for you too.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Welcome to Life Tips, the show that offers expert tips and savvy advice to make life easier and more fun on the web and around the world. Life Tips President Byron White talks to the latest trendsetters about strategies to grow your business. Editor Melanie Nayer interviews celebrities and expert writers on their tips for making life enjoyable and entertaining. Now, please welcome this week's Life Tips host, Byron White and Melanie Nayer.
Wednesday, February 21st, and today we are going to talk about the all-important aspect of entrepreneurship. Hi, Byron. Speaking
How
of
are you, Mel?
Happy
day?
Happy day. Now, the last time we talked to you, you were out in California.
Sunny California was a lot of work, but a lot of fun as well.
So, and you heard about some awesome entrepreneurs while you were out there, including yourself.
Saw a few speak and enjoyed the show overall.
Well, good. Today we are going to be talking to two really awesome people who really did their own thing in shaping their entrepreneurship, if you will. And our first guest today is one of our very own Life Tips gurus. I know you're excited about that, Byron. And she's also writing a book with Life Tips. So Susan Payton, who's the managing partner of Egg Marketing and Public Relations, she assists businesses with creative corporate communications, including press releases and marketing and web copy and research, all things that all businesses need to know. And she is currently working on a 101 Tips book on entrepreneurs for Life Tips. So welcome, Susan. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you, Melanie and Byron. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, we're thrilled to have you here. So let's get right into it for a second. One of the things, you know, you stress a lot in not only your profile but in the work that you do for other companies is that you were born an entrepreneur. And you have a really big kind of idealism about people being born entrepreneurs and people being made into entrepreneurs. Tell me a little bit about your thought process behind that.
Okay. Well, I didn't have an opinion on it until I worked toward my MBA. I wasn't born with a sales slip in my hand. I just, as I got older and got into college, started thinking, you know, it would be great to own my own business and not have to really deal with some of the bosses we've all had. You know, not like you, Byron, of course, but, you know, the ones that don't really let you make the most of your creativity and your experience. And, I was in my MBA programs and was really surprised to see that so many people didn't have that entrepreneurial drive that I assumed that most MBA students would have. You know, they were getting their degrees to just continue on in the corporate world and expand their knowledge, but stay safely under the wing of someone else that's taking the risks that an entrepreneur does. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized, you know, this isn't something that everybody has. And that's when I really started thinking about it and saying, yeah, I think you have to be born. It's not something you can be taught.
So tell me a little bit about the creation of Egg Marketing and Public Relations then.
Okay. Well, after I got my MBA, I was still sort of, I'm a writer at heart and have been looking to get into writing for magazines or publications for years. After I worked on my MBA, I saw that there was a niche in marketing that uses writing, but more for the corporate world. I had a few positions in marketing and got a lot of great experience with writing press releases and newsletters and all of the things I do now, and realized that there are a lot of small businesses that need that sort of support that maybe can't afford to have somebody full-time. Mm-hmm. Thus, Egg was born.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Definitely the egg.
Right on.
Oh, good for
the chicken,
you.
The chicken may have to be round two of my endeavor.
Susan, one of the tips that you write about is generating your own buzz, mm-hmm. and doing it cheaply, if you will. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about sort of your thoughts behind, you know, cheap buzz generation and really ways to get the word out as a small business or your own, you know, sole proprietorship.
Mm-hmm. A lot of small business owners don't have a lot of money, and
right.
you know, I saw a statistic recently that 95% of small businesses fail within 5 years, and it's so bleak, but yet I think that there are things that if you do your research and do your homework, you can prevent that from happening. A lot of things that you can do are free or very cheap. You know, if you've got some news, like your business is brand new or you have a grand opening, a press release is a great way to get that out there, get some attention from the media, maybe get coverage in local publications.
And what are some ways to go about mm-hmm. doing that? I mean, what I have found, especially in my experience, you know, in the news industry, is that, you know, business owners don't really know how to get the word out. They don't know how to approach the media. What do you suggest for clients do?
There are really research, you know, everything I know I've pretty much taught myself, you know, just typing in how to write a press release. There are places that you can submit to directly to a publication, say you're in manufacturing, you know, you can go to publications that are in that industry because they don't have a lot going on, so any news is kind of exciting. Those tend to be better than just sending it blanket out to the world that may not be as interested in the specific niche market that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Another good idea is writing articles, and that's why I like Life Tips, which is a different approach, but it lets you get your name out there, get your experience out there, and then people start to say, well, what does this person do? And then they look at your business, and they respect you as an expert in your industry, and therefore
sure.
turns into sales.
Nothing like a little shameless promotion, but you're absolutely
that's right.
right. Thank you.
Whatever it takes.
And how do you feel about this podcasting and blogging?
Honestly, I'm new to it. Actually, I just finished writing one of my tips for the book about podcasting, and one before that was about blogging. I think it's great that technology is changing the face of advertising and promotion, and it is very cheap to do a podcast or a blog, and I think that with blogs you can really stay in contact with your customers, and I know a lot of the bigger corporations use them to deal with issues. So if you find out that, you know, that someone is complaining about one of your products, you can use a blog to deal with that rather than covering it up. Just make it public and say, you know, we're aware of this, we're working to improve the issue with the product. And that puts the trust back with the clients and saying, okay, they're dealing with it and they value my opinion. And, you know, that's a great way to get kind of public service, if you will, out of that. And podcasts, you know, are great because you're offering information. You're not blatantly promoting yourself and saying, you know, wow, egg marketing is wonderful. But if you can provide a service and a value to the listeners, then that goes a long way to them being interested in your company.
Absolutely. Now, you brought up the book that you're writing, so tell people a little bit about what you're doing and what your book is about.
I'm teaching myself, I'll tell you. I've got
which
more
is great.
Tips tonight.
It's the best way to learn.
Yeah, it is. Because a lot of, as you said, I focus on kind of a shoestring budget, you know, just from my own experience and saying, look, you know, people are paying me to promote them, and how am I going to promote myself without, you know, spending all my money? I've got a lot of great tips on how to do that with virtually no money. Tips on how to delegate. That's a really big thing with me, and I know a lot of small business owners have trouble letting go and saying, you know what, I can't do everything myself. I'm going to have to hire somebody that is better at it. And spend your time doing what you're best at, which is probably managing your business or, you know, in my case, doing the writing.
How about risk management? Are you going to get involved in that a little bit in the book?
I think that there's a section that I'll be covering risk management. Honestly, I haven't done too much research into it, so you'll have to read the book and find out.
we're going to talk about the definition of an entrepreneur and what skills it takes to be an entrepreneur. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it takes drive and a lot of patience. as well as a general understanding of all of business. And that's why I got my MBA. You know, I'm not good at numbers. I don't like accounting, but I understand them well enough now to run my business and understand how finance, management, marketing, all those things work together. And I think that's really important. And a lot of business owners just focus on what they know. So if they're a photographer, say, and that's all they know, they don't understand that they're going to have to deal with invoices and, you know, getting new clients and inventory and overhead and all those things. So I think that's really important to really understand what it takes to run a business.
What about the top three things an entrepreneur should not do, Susan?
Don't underestimate the importance of your marketing budget. A lot of people I talk to say, oh, well, you know, I really don't have money to spend on marketing. I say, okay, well, you know, good luck to you, but, you know, again, that statistic of how many businesses fail. You know, I tell people just take just 10% of your revenue or your profit. Just take 10% and sock it away. You can get Google AdWords with that. You can do a press release. You know, you can do a lot with a little bit of money, and it'll add up quickly. Another one would be don't underestimate the power of a plan. Marketing plan, business plan, whatever it is, even if you're not seeking financing, it's very important to structure the way your company is going to grow instead of just looking at the day-to-day, to look at the future and say, okay, well, you know, we're making X number in revenue now, but how can we get that to, you know, five times that within a few years? And a plan is a really good way to be able to see that and then stay in contact with that plan and make sure you're following it. And the third thing, I said it earlier, but I think don't do everything yourself. Delegate. You know, you've got to understand where your strengths are and where it is better cost-wise and time-wise for you to hire somebody else to do something that you aren't as good at.
Works for me. Byron?
Can't wait for the book to come out. Hope I get to buy the first copy.
I have a feeling you will.
I'll leave an autograph for you.
Susan, thank you. This has been great. I appreciate all of your advice and ideas for our budding entrepreneurs out there in Webmaster Radio Land. And we look forward to your book, and we look forward to your Life Tips contributions. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for being on the show.
And we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Life Tips on WebmasterRadio.fm. We'll be back with more cool tips and advice right after these commercial messages.
Best of the Web, the Internet's oldest directory, EOTW.org, since 1994. Our editors scour the web, finding quality sites, providing users with spam-free resources, relevant information from valuable sites. Submit your site now for a guaranteed review in 3 days or less. For webmasters needing additional exposure, check out our 60-day free trial on category sponsorships. 60 days free advertising. No kidding. And don't forget the Best of the Web's reseller program with the industry's highest commissions. 25% recurring commission on all products and services. Bloggers, make sure to check out the BOTW blog directory and the recently launched volunteer editor program to help build the best blog resource on the web.
Have you heard that content is king?
Yeah, what's that mean?
I don't even have a clue.
Wonder if that's important.
Important? Search engine optimized web content is essential. Essential for maximizing page rank. Essential for increasing sales. GetWebContent.com is the Internet's foremost provider of custom written search engine optimized copy. GetWebContent.com is easy to access and ultra cost effective. Right now, copy is indeed king. And GetWebContent.com is the king of copy. Check it out today.
Hey, all you affiliates out there, this one's for you.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, cash, cash.
You hear that sound? That's the sound of your cat starving to death because you didn't produce enough volume. So you want to know how? Do you? XY7.com. XY7.com is the only way for you to convert your clicks into cash. So let's get it together, girls. XY7.com.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, cash, cash.
Every one of you listening on the web, look out, because soon, very soon, the most electrifying monster radio show ever conceived will be stalking your internet.
It's alive!
Run, don't walk, do affiliate things! There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. There's no escape from Affiliate Thing. Affiliate Thing has captured the news, tips, and resources as it feeds on the affiliate world. The big news, the big stories, and the big interviews.
It's Affiliate Thing.
Starring Affiliate Summit co-founder Sean Collins, Revenue Magazine's editor-in-chief Lisa Pecorelli, and a cast of exciting young people.
It's big. It's growing. It's getting stronger every day. It's Affiliate Marketing. It's Affiliate Networks. It's Affiliate Day.
Coming Wednesday, January 28th at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Drop into the Webmaster chat room.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
Clothing is optional.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips, the show that offers expert tips and savvy advice to make life easier and more fun. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Now, here's your host.
Hello, it's Melanie Nair, and I'm back with Byron White, and we are talking today about entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, and we are so excited to have on our show Dr. Fran Harris, a former ESPN Lifetime Television and Fox Sports announcer. She is also a national speaker and consultant who talks to everybody from Fortune 500 companies to moms and college kids. Welcome, Dr. Harris. We're excited to have you here.
Hey, Melanie. Good to be here.
So, you know, I first want to talk to you a second about just the basic definition of what is an entrepreneur. You have a couple of things coming out in that realm, including the first annual Mom Entrepreneur Contest and
yes.
the launch of the print version of Collegepreneur Magazine. So what,
yes.
what is the essential definition of an entrepreneur to you?
An entrepreneur is someone who is an out-of-the-box thinker, an innovator. So this could be a social entrepreneur. You could be an entrepreneur in your home. It's just you're not confined and constrained by rules and regulations. You tend to think more creatively. You tend to think in terms of huge visions for your life or your business. So that's really my definition for entrepreneurship.
Now, you have a new book coming out, Will the Real You Please Stand Up, which adds a little bit of sort of a twist to all of this in that it takes away the stigma of, it allows you to be yourself, essentially, in growing your own business and entrepreneurship and moving away from societal views and social aspects. Tell me a little bit about why you took this approach.
You know, it's so important. I think, Melanie, if we're honest, we've all danced or walked to the beat of someone else's drum.
Sure.
And so my book was really about reminding us and not even giving permission, because I believe you came here with the right to do whatever you want, but reminding us that the only way you're going to be successful, whether that's personal life or your business life as an entrepreneur in relationship, is to be all of who you are. And so many of us have gone to the schools that our parents wanted us to go to. We took the jobs that everybody expected us to take. We majored in the topics and the subjects that people thought we should major in. We married the people said we should marry. And none of this stuff is really feeding our authentic selves. And so that's really the main message of my book.
And, you know, one of the interesting things, too, is that you're also targeting an entirely different generation with this, and that being the 18 to 25-year-old college kids who, you know, when we were that age, we, like you were just saying, we were very affected into the decisions that we had to make, where this is,
yes.
you know, a very impressionable age. So tell me a little bit about that college newspaper, collegepreneur pitch that you have going on.
Well, it's really important. I started my first business when I was 9 years old. It was a snow cone stand in Dallas. I was nine. You know, Dallas is a great market to sell snow cones and lemonade because, you know, in the summertime it's like 130 degrees on a cool day.
Right.
So I've always had the DNA of entrepreneurship in my, you know, it's always been a part of my life. So for me, it's about getting those messages into young minds as early as possible, because if you start listening to your voice early, then you're more likely to continue to listen to your voice and to lean on your own understanding, if you will, and think about things in the way that you would see them, your perspective, versus what the media is telling you, what your parents are telling you, what your pastor's telling you, what the school teachers are telling you, what friends are saying. It's really about finding your voice, finding your authentic self, and then walking that line based on what you want for your life.
Dr. Harris, Byron White here. Thanks very much. Pleasure to have you on the show here. I wanted to just go back to your definition, which I thought was really a great, sort of a creative explanation. But I was reading a book on called The Entrepreneurial Imperative, a new book that was out, and it had an interesting definition. I wanted your reaction to it, and because I'd like to pick up on a few things on this definition. The definition was something like someone who undertakes personal economic risk to create a new organization that will exploit new technology or innovation that will generate value to others, and I added, and revenue to facilitate the growth. What are your thoughts on that? Do you feel like, innovation is a critical element to entrepreneurial success? Does somebody need a good idea here to really be a successful entrepreneur?
You need ingenuity and innovation, and it's not, that's a very business-oriented definition, which, it's great. But I expand the whole concept of entrepreneurship to families, to social entrepreneurship. I mean, maybe you want to change the way society sees women in the media, and you decide to create some kind of initiative or concept based on that one idea. I mean, that's an out-of-the-box kind of way of thinking. So, yes, I do think innovation, ingenuity, just if it ain't broke, break it. That's kind of what entrepreneurs do. They say, well, this has been done, but let's see how many ways it can be done differently. And so I think there's a great deal of energy, there's a great deal of excitement and enthusiasm that comes when you're in entrepreneurship, because that's a quality, and those are things that you can take into any area of your life. I mean, really, if couples were more entrepreneurial minded, what a great time they would be having, because they'd always be looking to do things differently and more exciting.
Now, tell me a little bit, entrepreneurs in general are a mystery. No one's been able to quite figure out, what is the fabric for an entrepreneur. Why is that? And why haven't we figured that out? Why can't we assess that?
I think we figured it out. I just think we're not comfortable with what we've figured out. And that is that entrepreneurs will not allow you to put them in a box. They will not allow you to decide what the course of their life is going to be. Someone asked me, had I ever worked for a company? And I did. I worked for Procter & Gamble about 10 years ago. It was a fantastic company, great experience. But the reality is that I'm a woeful employee. I don't do well with 9-to-5. And so that's what, because I am that, that makes me the entrepreneur that I am. I need the freedom to be able to have absolutely no limits whatsoever. And that's just not income. That's in terms of my creative thinking, what I can put together in terms of a platform or initiative for a different concept. So I think we figured out that entrepreneurs are these wild things, if you will, in a good sense, in that you're not able to put us in a box, and you're not able to say, this is what you're going to be doing 5 or 10 years from now, and this is going to be your income level, your revenue, proficiency in the next 2. For us, it's like the sky is the limit. And so I think that's what makes it so exciting, especially now with the Internet, to be an entrepreneur in this day and age.
Mm. So what characterizes an entrepreneur, and how do you know that you're one?
I think there's an entrepreneur, honestly, in everybody. I think there is people, if you're honest, there's an idea, there's a different way you've looked at doing something, and whether you've actually stepped out and done it is not the point. But you've had that kind of glimmer in your eye, that sheen in your eye that says, I wonder if, or I wonder if I just take this little thing and just tweak it a little bit, I could actually have a multi-billion dollar business. So I think the qualities that you see in entrepreneurs are clearly going to be out of the box thinkers, innovators, risk takers. It's not that people say, do you love risk? I like it sometimes. I don't necessarily want to have it for breakfast all the time, but it's not something that deters me. And I think that's what you'll see across any entrepreneurial segment are people who say, the rewards for success with this venture far outweigh the potential, I don't believe in failure, but the potential downside of stepping in the direction of my dream.
There's no better person to ask this next question, given that you have a PhD in business. How important are entrepreneurs to the general business ecosystem?
Wow.
And how important are they? And why is another good question.
Yeah, the fabric, because the fabric, this country was built on entrepreneurs, first of all. And so as you look at ecosystems, it's important to always welcome and embrace and encourage unconventional thinking. And that's what entrepreneurs are going to bring to any party that they attend. They're always going to be looking for different ways to explore how we've done business. And even if we're doing business, we're doing a great business, our profits, our bottom lines, our statements are looking great. An entrepreneur, a true entrepreneur, is always going to say, yeah, but how can we do things differently? How can we serve the customer better? How can we be more of a leader in the marketplace? And that's what I love about being an entrepreneur, and that's what I love about being around entrepreneurs, because there's always this constant barrage of different ideas and unconventional ideas. And the other great thing that I love about entrepreneurs is that if you understand that there doesn't need to be any judgment about the ideas. See, a lot of times conventional thinkers say, yeah, but that'll never work. Well, entrepreneurs know everything that they think of is not going to work, but that doesn't stop the generation of ideas. And so I think it's critical that entrepreneurs be a part of every single system in this country, you know, the religious system, our school system, our social system, political systems, because that's where you're going to get a lot of that out-of-the-box thinking, and that's really when change and transformation takes place.
There are different stages of the entrepreneur's life, shall we say. Some get stuck in the embryonic stage. Others make it out and have success. What are some of the stages in your mind, and what are some of the risks that come with every stage?
Yeah, I do think. I think there is the embryonic stage where you're just kind of nesting and kind of nurturing your idea or your business or this concept in your mind. And every entrepreneur has this thing that they want to change. They either want to create something that's better than what's on the market, or they want to bring something completely new and different to the market. So in that embryonic stage, you will see the whole newness. You know, it's like being a baby, the newness of learning to walk, understanding whether if you take one step, are you going to crash? And those thoughts are very real for entrepreneurs. And then for me, it kind of moves into the wonder years, which are the years where everything is exciting, everything is possible, and there are no limits. And I think we go through different cycles of that. And during the wonder years, you'll see, as I said, this general excitement about what's possible, but you also so start to see the possible roadblocks, the possible obstacles that can get in your way. And then it's really for me about moving into the fantastic years, when you've gotten through the wonder years, you know what can and won't work generally, and now it's a matter of creating a path and a road and kind of a path of where you want to go, understanding that there still are unlimited possibilities for you, and you've got all these different technologies available to you and resources available to you. Because I think at heart an entrepreneur believes that there's nothing they can't do. And so those are kind of the stages that I've gone through, and I'm kind of in that fantastic stage where I've got so many ideas, I need a clone.
We need to take a break in a minute, but one more question before we break. When you think of people as, you know, you need to become an entrepreneur, is it possible to be an entrepreneur if you're part of an organization that's very entrepreneurial?
Absolutely. When I was with Procter & Gamble, the reason I got promoted so much was because I was an entrepreneur. And see, a lot of people think that they have to be mutually exclusive, and I'd love to talk a little bit more about this after the break, because the reason I was able to be successful there is because I was always thinking creatively. I was always trying to get around budget limits or limited thinking of the people who worked in our organization or some of my vendors or suppliers. So absolutely, if you want to succeed in corporate America, let's say you never plan to start your own business, the fastest way to move ahead in corporate America is to be an entrepreneur.
We all better rest our brains. This is a lot of bad data coming at us here. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Life Tips on webmasterradio.fm. We'll be back with more cool tips and advice right after these commercial messages.
It's a no-brainer. Reaching customers everywhere they search is smart business. However, reaching them through web and mobile search, as well as free directory assistance with effective pay-per-call advertising is, well, ingenious. Ingenio Pay-Per-Call delivers highly targeted phone call leads to businesses looking for new customers. And the advertising business only pays for new customer lead. Call 1-800-705-0632 today to ask about your free trial, or go to ingenio.com/webradio. That's ingenio.com/webradio. Ingenio. Simply ingenious.
Know how to get the best return on your advertising dollar? ClickSoar.com. Yeah, ever since we began marketing with more precise content, target technology from ClickSoar.com, we've seen a huge jump in visitors converting to buyers for just over one-third of a cent per view. To get over 300 categories, unlimited keywords and ad placement on over 100,000 sites, click on ClickSoar.com today. That's ClickSoar.com. Your bottom line will thank you. ClickSoar.com delivers where it matters for you.
Now, experience the future of web design and development with a whole new level of efficiency, expressiveness, and simplified workflow. Introducing Studio 8, a compilation of the latest releases from Dreamweaver, Flash Professional, Fireworks, Contribute, and Flashpaper. Sure to inspire you to create superior online video sites and mobile content. And now, through this exclusive WebmasterRadio.fm offer, listeners can save a whopping $100 off Studio 8. Visit the online store at Adobe.com or contact Adobe Customer Services and provide promo code Webmaster Radio in order to receive your discount. Studio 8, your way to create.
Flashback, November 2004. A brand new radio station launched onto the World Wide Web. That station was WebmasterRadio.fm. Today, Webmaster Radio is one of the fastest growing internet media outlets in the world. Webmaster Radio boasts one of the most respected talk radio lineups in the internet business world. Danny Sullivan, Chris Tall, Susan Brett, Jim Hedger, Barry Schwartz, Jeremy Shoemaker, Ryan and Jeffrey Eisenberg, Greg Nyland, Katie Kempner. We travel coast to coast to bring you the most extensive and detailed live coverage of the most high-profile trade shows in the world. Ad Tech, Search Engine Strategy, RSA, Webmaster World, DMA, Ecom Expo. And we have brought you keynote speeches and interviews of some of the biggest influential names in business today. Eric Schmidt, Andrew Hayward, Barry Diller, John Battelle, Keith Ferraz, and way too many others to mention. Our live programming and on-demand podcasting keeps the B2B world informed. We are WebmasterRadio.fm, and we're everywhere.
You have arrived
at the destination for education and entertainment.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
Because not everyone's last name is Gates.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips, the show that offers expert tips and savvy advice to make life easier and more fun. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Dr. Fran Harris, former WNBA and national television commentator and author of Will the Real You Please Stand Up? Let's see. We were on quite a tear there before we left for the break. let's circle into some interesting zone, if you will, and that is, how do you arrive at the next new thing? Like, what's the process that someone should go to, that they should go through to really arrive on that next new thing?
I think you have to always be open to the possibility that even a great idea can be improved upon. And if you can be open to that, you'll be amazed at the things that will show up in your brain space. I mean, whether it's from watching television or just from looking at a product that you are using. I have a journal that I keep that literally has all my ideas. So if I'm working on something or I'm dealing with a product or a gadget and it doesn't do what I want it to do, I make a note. I say, this product didn't blah, 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 blah. It would be great to have a product like this. Now, clearly, I'm not going to go off and develop every improvement that I think of. But by being open to that, I am allowing those ideas to constantly be coming into my brain, into my area. And so I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to just be completely like a sponge, just open up to the universe and just be open to all the possibilities that are right in front of them. Because most million and billion dollar ideas have come from people who needed a problem solved, and there was not something on the market to solve it. And they weren't deterred by the fact that they didn't have enough money or they didn't know how to get a patent or a trademark. They simply decided that they were going to do it. So it's really about just being open more than anything. There is no process. It's just being open to it and then making sure that you have something to record those ideas along the way.
What about testing ideas? Are there interesting avenues that one can test the value proposition of an idea?
Yeah, the great thing about living in the time that we live in now is that we have the internet. We have, you know, something as simple as the title to a new book that you have coming up. I remember a couple of years ago, I had a book cover. My publisher had thoughts for a book cover. I had thoughts for my book cover. And I said, you know what, we'll settle this. I like this cover. You like that cover. We'll settle it. I'll send out an email to 30 random people, some on my list, some on other people's mailing list, and let's just see what the feedback is. Because I'm thinking they're not going to like it. And so we sent it out to 30 people, literally 30 people. We did like a virtual focus group and immediately got feedback. So, yeah, there are definitely ways to test ideas. I mean, if you want something a little more warm and fuzzy, then order pizza and invite 20 people over to your home and just get their ideas on your products and services or kind of use their brain power to spur on different ideas for you. So I'm a huge fan of testing things. I think at a very gut level, you have to have a sense of what's a great idea, but every great idea isn't necessarily a product or service that you could bring to the marketplace and be profitable with it.
Where does passion fit into the equation in your mind about the idea or the plan or the people or the value? Where does passion fit in?
I think it all starts with passion. It all begins with passion. No matter whether you're bringing a product or service to market, it has to start with that desire, that hunger that you have that gets you out of bed every morning, that passion to see, you know, whether it's if you're a social entrepreneur, to change the world, to change the circumstances of a group of people. And so passion is it's kind of the prevailing quality that all entrepreneurs have. They just have this kind of innate excitability and drive that really gets them from one level to the next, because clearly you are going to face things that may get in the way of succeeding on the timing that you want to succeed. And so it's that passion that's going to actually get you through those times, through completion.
When do you throw the towel in and just give up on the dream?
That's a great question, because I think while passion is great and sticking with something and determination, all those things are great. Unfortunately, there comes a time when no matter how much money you throw at an idea, the market is just not responding to it. And as a smart entrepreneur, you have to recognize that. And so if you've thrown everything that you have inside and outside at an idea, you've really analyzed it, worked it, and the market is not responding, i.e. the people are not buying it, they're not responding, it's not resonating in the way that you envisioned, then it's time to throw in the towel and move on. And see, that's the other great thing about being an entrepreneur, is that we rarely are working on one thing. There's rarely one recipe in the kitchen. We've got several things that we're generally working on. And so the mark of a great entrepreneur is someone who doesn't throw every single thing hoping that one idea is going to work. They know that there's a great chance that it will, there's a great chance that it won't. And you just have to have that ability to recognize when the market is not responding to your genius.
What should the mantra be for an entrepreneur? Never give up?
Loaded question, yeah. The mantra should be, you know, we used to say try, you know, reverse, you don't succeed, try again. I don't actually believe in trying. I believe you either do something or you don't. And that's kind of my mantra. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, don't. Don't talk about it. Don't brainstorm about it. Don't envision it. Don't decide that it's a great thing to do and all you do is kind of mull around, put it on your blog, and everybody who meets you has to hear about it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. So kind of my mantra is just do it.
Let's have some fun here and try to identify and maybe bring some of the listeners through your process of how you would take a topic that might be an entrepreneurial area that you're interested in and formulate an idea, you know, that might be a winner. In other words, I'd like to hear your thinking on how you dissect, a topic, saying, okay, I know a little bit about that. Gee, a problem over here is this. So what about basketball, something you're quite familiar with? How would you approach coming up with something entrepreneurial in the basketball area?
Well, here's what's interesting, and I'm going to use something existing. You know, you, as I said earlier, if you pay attention to the things and the signals and signs around you, there are ideas all around you, every single 24/7, 365. And so as I look at basketball, one of the things I would do if I were playing basketball is to look at the people in the audience, look at what people are writing about basketball, look how people are enjoying or experiencing the sport, and right there you've got 20, 30 ideas. You know, is there something I can do in the area of fan support? Is there something I can do in the area of having fans watch or enjoy their sports online? I mean, my mind just goes there. What kind of apparel can I do? How can I capitalize on the people who are watching the sport of basketball who are no longer in basketball age, playing age? So that's my process. I'm very visual, and I pay attention. I'm looking around. When I'm enjoying something, I'm always saying, who else is here with me? And what are they doing, and how do they enjoy this sport or this product, and how can we kind of spin that into different entrepreneurial ventures?
How about religion?
Religion, same thing. You know, the interesting thing about religion is that it has kind of lagged behind when it comes to emerging technology. So when I think of spirituality and religion, the first thing I think about is how can we apply some of the same techniques and methods that other people have used to be successful in other genres to religion. So, of course, you start thinking about people who have taken television, YouTube, online. Well, how about having one of those that's specifically for different faiths, those kinds of things? Or people who've made tons of money on identity bracelets, like Lance Armstrong's, you know, Live Strong bracelet. Religious people are known for spouting off scriptures and affirmations. There's a business idea right there. So I started to think, I'm actually taking notes. So I really think about how can we apply all of the technologies that we're using that's made it so phenomenal to live in 2007 to religion and spirituality. And there's a lot there.
Great room for improvement probably as well in terms of perception and lots of other things. What about parenting? You know, and that's just a huge topic area. What's creative and interesting for you from your perspective in that area?
What's really interesting with parenting for me now is the area of sports parenting. A few years ago, I actually wrote a column called Raising Good Sports, and it was essentially what it sounds like. It was about helping parents to raise healthy athletes, whether it's from the psychological standpoint of being in sports, but it was also a column that was supposed to help parents become better role models for their kids as they were watching sports and those kinds of things. So the area of kids and parenting is huge. There's so much that can be done from an entrepreneur standpoint, from educating. If you just break up the markets within the segments within the parenting market, you've got dads, you've got moms, you've got single moms, you've got single dads. You've got blended families. I mean, you've got kids who are at different ages. So all of those different nuances and segments represent opportunity, entrepreneurial opportunity, whether it's from a seminar standpoint or a product standpoint or actual watching sports in a different way, whether it's on their iPods or the MP3 players, or how do we get parents to capture their kids' moments and make a video scrapbook. I mean, all these things are just coming off the top of my head from you asking this question. But that's the way I think. I always think of breaking down the bigger market. How many niche markets are within that big market? And is that market and are all of those niche markets being served to the best of an entrepreneur's ability? And the answer is, of course, no. There are lots of hidden markets out there that people haven't tapped into yet.
Now, here's a loaded question for you. Have you ever met a company, I met an entrepreneur that started a company that has a mission to make the world a better place?
I think that's what everybody aspires to do in their own area, you know, to make the world a better place, make the world a better place, one cup of coffee at a time. I think it's Starbucks' mantra. Nike, to make the world a better place, one $200 pair of shoes at a time. Right. So I think there has to be an underlying level of service. I was watching the Oprah Winfrey Show last week, and she was talking about why she does what she does. And she does what she does because what she does transforms lives. And so there has to be, for me anyway, for every entrepreneur's vision, this undercurrent of really wanting change, because that's what we're talking about. When we talk about making the world a better place, it may not be the big global Mother Teresa type of vision that an entrepreneur has, but we really want to improve the quality of lives of the people that we serve and our markets and our demographics and consumers.
How about conflict?
I love conflict. I think conflict is a great entrepreneurial area, because people are always trying to squash conflict. They're always trying to figure out why we respond the way we respond to conflict. And so if someone could actually develop some products, and I think some psychologists have, develop some products about why conflict is good, or how to actually navigate through relational conflict, in whether it's corporations or relationships. And then there's a whole area of actual toys. Remember the stress balls? I mean, that's to relieve the conflict that you have in your body. So there's a whole other genre of conflict-oriented product that I don't even think we've begun to tap into yet.
So let me go back to a listener that's really thinking about whether they should make the plunge right now. Let's say they have a family, you know, it would be a huge risk, leave the job that they've been unhappy with for 6 or 7 years. What words of wisdom do you have for that person in making that big decision?
Here it is, and they're not going to like it, because it's not going to be served with toast. It's not going to be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's not going to be very tasty. There's never going to be the perfect time to do it. Forget it. The perfect time does not exist. Either it's going to be relational or health or money. There's always an excuse waiting to be used. And so I always tell people, because most of my clients are married or they're coming out of college or they're going to college or someone has just died, I always say, great, so you've got a real life right now. And so what you have to decide is if you are going to enrich your life by adding this wonderful thing that I call being on the path of entrepreneurship or not. And you have to really see it that way. You can't see, oh, it's going to be a huge risk, and what if I lose my house? I tell people to focus on what they want in their lives versus what they don't want to see in their lives. And so it's about taking the plunge, because that's really what it is, and having the faith to know that there's no such thing as failure. I don't believe in failure. You either hit your mark or you don't. And if you don't hit your mark, you just kind of step back and figure out ways to hit your mark. And people are always focused on the drastic and traumatic and dramatic things that can happen if they don't hit their mark. And they spend their wills and they spend all their energy doing that. I say, if you got $100 of emotional currency today, are you going to spend 99 of it focusing on what can happen, or are you going to spend $99 focusing on what can happen? And that's really the way I live my life, and that's the way I encourage my clients to live theirs too.
How do you establish your, quote, mark or goal?
Well, you know, it depends
revenue
on what you're shooting for. Some people use what's already been done in the area. For instance, if I were starting a coffee franchise, I would certainly be reading everything I could on Starbucks, because clearly they have it right. And what people don't understand is that Starbucks' coffee, you can ask people who drink it, I'm not a coffee drinker, but you can ask people who drink it, it's really not necessarily superior to whatever else is on the market. I mean, really, it's not. But what Starbucks has done is to create an unparalleled experience for people. People know your name. They know what you're going to offer before you get order before you get there. They create an experience that makes people want to be in Starbucks. You got the cool music. It's kind of cool to be at Starbucks. And so when you're trying to figure out what your marks, what you should be shooting for, I always say look at the people who are doing it, analyze what they're doing it, how they're doing it, and figure out how you can do something, how you can serve in a different way, in a way that's very unique to your own purpose and your values, but also you just can't ignore the folks who are leading in the category.
I almost have to apologize, Dr. Fran Harris, to Melanie, poor Melanie today. My excitement for this interview with you has virtually dominated the questions here. So
no, don't apologize. This is a nice, I'm just sort of laid back. I'm listening. I'm taking it all in. This is good.
Good, Melanie. Get in there.
I have one final question. I'm going to turn it over to Melanie, who might have some final questions as well. But if you really, you know, in your experience in dealing with entrepreneurs, if you see somebody that just has the most incredible determination to get their plan and to get their idea off the ground, don't you think they're going to succeed in the end of the day?
I do. As a matter of fact, I do. I think if you get the right mentors on board, honestly, because that is so important, is to not try to do this alone. I've certainly been on ventures where I felt like I'm the only one walking on this path. I need some support. I need people who've done that, who've been there and done that. So I think if you have the determination, you're smart about how you go about getting your information, your market information, you know there's a market for it, you've done your homework and your research, yes, you will ultimately succeed. Every successful person out there, regardless of which industry they're in, has walked a very lonely path where they not had the most money, lived in their cars, you know, mortgaged their homes, refinanced, lived off of credit cards. I mean, that story is so pervasive among successful people that it's almost like a rites of passage. So it's going to happen. If you keep moving forward in the direction of your dreams smartly, it will happen.
Well, on that note, as I hear the Academy Awards music playing in the background, as if to say, Melanie, wrap up the show. Dr. Harris, we're thrilled to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melanie. Thanks,
and just one more time, Will the Real You Please Stand Up is currently out in bookstores, so check it out. And we will see you all next week on Life Tips. Take care, everybody.